Local band Sweet Radish is releasing a new album. The CD release performance is taking place March 22nd at the Villa Grove Trading Post at 6 p.m., about as far north and still in the San Luis Valley as you can get. That's a free admission, all ages show. And we want to find out more. We've got Abe Rosenberg here in the studio to talk about this. And one of the interesting things about this new album is that it's called Songs of My Father. And that is a literal name, actually, I guess. But first off, and I know, you know, it's got to be at least like 10 years or something that Sweet Radish has been playing in one form or another around town, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. We started in 2010, so okay, it's been exactly 10 years since our first gig, which actually was at the Villa Grove Trade as well. Mm. That was our very first gig. So we thought this would be an appropriate venue to do this CD release show.
Yeah, great. And it's been a while, though. I'm trying to remember what's the last one I remember seeing, but a while since there's been a recording, and really a while since I've heard about you guys being out and playing much at all. Did you kind of, it sounds like you might have had another creative project that was taking a lot of your time recently.
Yeah, totally. So our last album release was in 2013. And so it's been a little while.
Yeah.
And so this year is actually going to be a big creative year for us to release a bunch of stuff, because we were able to write during that time, but we hadn't been able to do any recording. And so 2020 is like the big year for us to kind of catch up and release all this music that we've been kind of, you know, holding in our back pocket, so to speak.
All right.
But what we've been doing in the last 7 years is kind of focusing on our farm. We had a small ranch. My partner, Morgan Velasquez, and I, kind of the core writing of the band. And we were managing a cattle ranch here north of Alamosa, and we had to move our whole operation. And so we bought a piece of property south of Antonito, almost right on the Colorado, New Mexico border, and moved out there into a camper on vacant land, built our own house, and have just been kind of working on that, getting back to the point where we can have a place to record. Cause it's always been our dream to have our own home recording studio. And so that's another exciting thing about these new things, these new albums coming out this year, is that they're being recorded at our home studio, which is basically brand new and just finally usable after all of the construction for the last few years.
Yeah, that's great. And I want to, you know, when I mentioned a creative project you and Morgan were working on, that you had a child together, right?
Oh, yeah, that's another creative project. Yeah, for sure.
Well, and something that'll really keep you busy for a while.
Yeah. Definitely. And so his name is Israel, and he is going to be 2 this April. And so he's just getting to that point now, also when he's allowing us to record and being a little more independent. So giving us the opportunity to work on our music again, because up until now, it's been all about him and the baby and everything. It's been wonderful, but we're also really excited to be able to focus on our music some more. And the funny thing about it is, you know, being a home recording studio and having a toddler poses some interesting challenges. And so, like, there are times when we make that decision, like, well, you can hear Israel in the background. Is it worth, you know, trying to do it again, or do we incorporate it into the song? So sometimes there's, you know, instances within songs where you may actually hear him, you know, playing or doing something in the background, which is adds an interesting, like, personal sound to it, I think.
Yeah, atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, how long do you think until, you know, you get him in the band?
Oh, man, as soon as he wants to do it more. Yeah. I mean, he's already really involved. You know, he likes to play on the instruments and mess around and He really enjoys being a part of what we're doing, which is why, you know, when we are recording, a lot of the time he's in the room with us.
Yeah.
Either that or he's taking a nap and we're hoping that we can get through a song before he wakes up.
Do a lullaby.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually one of the new ones that's going to come out at the end of 2020 is a kid's album that is about mostly focused around lullabies.
That's something that you've been kind of forced to work on anyways, and you figure you might as well make a record out of it too.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, totally. So like we've always been doing these, you know, either traditional lullabies that we've like messed with a little bit and made them more personal to him, or just like decided that we didn't really like the original lyrics too much. Mm. And so we'll change it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then some original songs as well in there.
Some of those, you know, what's this with the baby come crashing down and all that? You know, there's some pretty scary lyrics in some of those lullabies.
For sure. And like we did the, you know, the Mockingbird song, and we felt like it was just like a little too consumerism vibe, you know? Yeah. And so like we just kind of altered it a little bit to make it seem more holistic or whatever you want to say, more.
Yeah.
More akin to our lifestyle, which is this off-grid minimalist type of thing.
Great. Yeah. So that's something I'm curious about, because you talk about setting up the home studio and then you mentioned being off-grid and everything too. And I know, you know, home studio these days can be anything from a laptop and a microphone to a 32-track desk and lots of equipment or something. I'm guessing you're somewhere in between there, but what, you know, what kind of setup do you have? You don't have to go into a lot of detail either, but I'm just, you know.
Yeah, it's basically, like you said, in between those two things. It's actually very, very simple setup, because our whole house and farm and everything is based on this minimalist type of lifestyle, and our house is considered a tiny house technically. And so what we have done is brought in certain microphones that will work for multiple kinds of recording. So we have some that are great for getting ambient sounds, and one that we use for most of our work, which is good for both the vocal and the instrument. So it's a nice condenser microphone. Everything goes through a USB interface that then goes to our recording software. And we, because we also do video and video production and graphic design, we have the Adobe Creative Suite in order to do all that, so we can have you know,
you got like Audition for the audio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it just, it works well, because then we can drop things over between programs. If we're doing a video, we'll be using Premiere. Sometimes we'll be using Photoshop, or you know, we always have to go back to Media Encoder, but for most people, that none of that really is very interesting, I'm sure. But for editors,
it's already beyond what I know. But I used to use Audition at my last job, but we've got the freeware, Audacity here. So, anyways,
nice.
It sounds like you got a nice setup there, and now, you mentioned Morgan, your partner, the mother of Israel as well. And you two, and you mentioned that you two are kind of the, I think you said writing core, but really the two people that have been in Sweet Radish from the beginning. Some folks have come and gone, but I'm curious, did you, what came first with you and Morgan? Did you start playing music together, or did you start being a couple?
That's a great question, and it's actually both simultaneously, because some of our first dates technically were jam sessions. So we started getting together and playing music together at the same time as our romantic relationship began.
All right.
Yeah.
Great. And both still going strong, sounds like.
Definitely. Definitely. It's really unique, because we are, you know, husband and wife and business partners in every regard. You know, we work together on the video business, on the farming, and on the music. So we really like to do things together. That's just how we roll.
Yeah. You never like find yourself complaining to your business partner about your the mother of your child, or, you know, complaining to the mother of your child about your bandmate or something like that?
Well, it definitely poses a lot of opportunities for us to work on both professional things and personal things. So, you know, it's, I wouldn't say it's always sunshine and roses. You know, right. We definitely have instances where we will have conflicting ideas about where we should go with something. And I think that that's something to be said about relationships as well. You know, with when you're in a marriage, it's important to be able to work through those challenges in order for it to be a success and find common ground. And so I think that's really what we focus on, is always coming back to what is really the message that we're trying to portray. And sometimes one person's in charge of a song and the other person's in charge. So being able to let go of things and having that give and take about who's kind of taking the lead for something and who's being in that supporting role.
And I guess you gotta, you know, some of us can ignore something and go off to work, and but you gotta deal with this stuff if you're gonna work, right? You can't just ignore issues.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't work very well.
It doesn't really work for the rest of us either, but at least temporarily. And are you planning on doing any videos for this album?
Yeah, definitely. So we currently have a Patreon page, which is a way for us to help support our video production around Sweet Radish. Yeah. So basically, we have a number of patrons who contribute on a monthly basis. And that gives us a small budget to work with in order to create a music video consistently once a month.
Yeah.
And then we have all kinds of extras and bonus features and things like that to really give rewards to our patrons. And also, if you know you are a patron, or if you're interested in becoming a patron, it's also the most affordable way really to gain access to all of our music, because everything we put on there can be downloaded. And so if you want to get the tracks before they're actually released on like Spotify or Google Play or something like that, then Patreon is really the best way to do that as well.
Yeah, and I guess just look up Sweet Radish on the Patreon site.
Yeah, totally. It's really simple. So patreon.com/sweetradish.
All right. And so now I wanted to get back to the new album. It's called Songs of My Father. And I know a little bit about what that means, but why don't you tell us a little bit? Like I said, that is literally true for at least most of these songs, right?
Yeah, totally. So my dad, Ed Rosenberg, he was a musician, and he was my first teacher. We had a family band together for a number of years, and he also had another band called the Crestone Mountain String Band when I was a real little kid. And during that time, he recorded a couple of his original songs on there. But those were the only original songs that he ever recorded. Additionally, at the time, he was only, like, his focus was around tapes, you know. It was back then when he got some CDs, but he got a bunch of tapes, and now there's no record of that online. So unless you have one of those physical copies from the early 90s, then you don't have any way to listen to his music. And it's kind of unfortunate, because he died in 2011, and he wasn't able to have a way to pass that on. He had seven original songs, and some of them are just lost forever. Luckily, he was able to teach me some of his songs, and so these are the ones that I know that he taught me personally. And we just wanted to kind of honor that, that he was such a great original artist. And these are some of his most famous songs. Like, he was like, the one song says, "Traveling Man." He loved to travel all over the place. And so he's got friends all over the world who would really love to listen to his music, and they just don't have a way to do that. And so that was kind of our main focus, as well as just kind of tributing to the origins of my interest in music. And so, yeah, that's kind of how it all started. And we incorporated one song that I wrote for him that he was able to hear before he died. So I wrote it kind of around the same time we started Sweet Radish. And that was an interesting experience too, because when we started making the CD, I forgot some of the words to the song. And so, you know, I'm just trying and trying to remember what these words were. And finally I said, well, forget it. I'm going to write new words to, you know, explain what I think it was. So I wrote these new verses that kind of bring in this new, this perspective of right now after he's passed away. And then as I was starting to record the song, the old words came back to me too. And it was in the form of a bridge. And so I was like, well, I can't really get rid of it now. So now it's this, it's almost like a whole new song now that has the old words and the new words put together.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And yeah, we can go ahead and listen a little bit to that stuff.
When you were young, left the city for Oklahoma, you soon found out, got right, was much better for you. City boy, New York bred, you left the smog behind to find a clearer head. Before you met my mother, you had three different wives, three other children, three other lives. She knew you'd be my daddy right from the start. I scared you, but you followed your heart. I don't know why I got so lucky. I got the best of you. All I know is I'll always love you. With you, I don't Don't know why I got so lucky. Don't know why I got the best of you. All I know is I'll always love you. Taught me how to sing and play. You showed me the world. You said money doesn't make happy man. That's deep down inside. Stick to your heart and do the best you can. I love you. I love you.
Sweet Radish, pretty much acoustic. Out of old-timey roots type songs and everything. From what I gather, your dad kind of did that same kind of thing. I know, you know, that doesn't always go down from generation to generation. You could have started rapping or something like that. Was there something about this kind of music that really appealed to you?
Yeah, I think something that my dad and I shared was this enjoyment of acoustic string music. And so there's a whole variety of different areas that you can go with that. And it really is such a vast genre of music. It's not even really defined as a genre. You know, right. There's everything from more classical sounds to really fast-paced bluegrassy sounds and everything in between. Yeah. And so something that we really focused on more in our music that was a little bit different from what he was doing a lot of, you know, traditional songs and songs about nature and things like mm-hmm. that. And so we have some of that, but I think the main difference is that we're really into songwriting. Mm. And so during his whole music career, he wrote about 7 songs, which they were all really great songs. Right. But for the most part, if you went to see him live, he would play a lot of cover songs or traditional songs. Right. And so we're kind of the exact opposite, where we do a lot of original songs and then feed in a few covers and things like that.
Yeah, keeping the tradition alive, I guess, is what, you know, is behind that a lot of the times, right? The reason for it.
Yeah.
Playing those, you know, some of those songs that have been around hundreds of years and everything.
Totally. And so that's kind of where we pick and choose which ones we really want to do. So like on our last album from 2013, we put on there a song called Reuben's Train, which is a traditional tune, but it's not played a bunch. You know, it's got, you've got a few people who really have carried that on and they've carried it on from the generation before that. And so it's like tapping into this thing from, you know, prior to 1900, these songs that were like pop songs back then, and now most people have forgotten, but they really have a lot of grit and a lot of really cool stuff about them.
Yeah. And back in those days, at least, most of them, there was sheet music that would sell to make something popular. So I would think you'd want to keep the song something that most people could play fairly easily and not be showing off like you might be more likely to do if you're selling recordings.
Yeah, I mean, and then another part of it too is just the simplified version of things. So like a lot of these traditional tunes are not very complex in essence. You know, there's something that can be passed on really easily between musicians. And so part of what kept them alive and part of the stuff that we really enjoy making in our music is trying not to get too complex. You know, as a musician, especially someone who's like done things like jazz and classical and studied those areas, sometimes you can get too complex very easily and you like always want to like add these things to it. But then ultimately what ends up happening is the songs that most people resonate with and most people connect with happen to be the simplest songs. And you'll see that in pop music today. Even it's like most of the songs that people find really popular, really, you know, connects with them on a heart level are like some of the simplest chord progressions, you know, and then they make it interesting with the delivery of the lyrics and the melody. Yeah. So that's kind of what we try to do, and that's what we found in some of these old songs. So like a lot of the ones that we go for are ones where it was like being passed from musician to musician at some kind of like barn dance type thing in the Appalachian Mountains or something like that. And the connection is actually the musician. So for us with Ruben's Train, for example, our connection was a musician called Peter Stampfel, who was part of a band called the Holy Modal Rounders. And they have one way of playing Ruben's Train that he learned from another banjo player who was like his idol. And so it wasn't really written down, honestly, until later on. And then, and same thing, like it wasn't really recorded. And so this is all like kind of part of the folk revival in a sense, you know what I mean? Like we're just like this, you know, newer version of what people were doing back in the 60s and the 50s, you know, Pete Seeger and all those guys, you know, trying to like create something new and preserve those really important songs that people connect with.
Sure. And I know I've heard Eurythmics song you guys did. I don't know what you you know, if you got new stuff on, but you mentioned this we've got this going, the Songs of My Father coming out pretty much right now, and you mentioned the lullabies and children's songs at the end of the year. What else do you have going on? Are there things we should look for?
Yeah, totally. So in between this one, Songs of My Father, and then the children's album at the end of 2020, we have two other albums that are going to come out in between. And so one is called Garden and Life, and it's about songs that relate to that title. And then there's another one called Ballads and Heartstrings. And the reason we're breaking it up essentially is so that we can fit it onto a CD. Although our main focus right now is going to be making them available online for downloads. But we also recognize that there are people out there who still really appreciate that physical copy. And so what we've done is we've decided to, with distribution and everything, to minimize the number of physical copies and make it more personal. And so we're actually going to be distributing the CDs. And then the online distribution is going to be through a distributor to help it get out to all of the online platforms. But then if you want a physical copy, you're going to be buying it directly from us. We're going to be the ones putting in the thank you note and the receipt and putting it in the mail. So it adds that little personal touch to things.
March 22nd, Villa Grove Trading Post, 6 p.m. Free admission, all ages show, and it's celebrating the release of Songs of My Father, the latest album and CD from Sweet Radish. Patreon.com/Sweet Radish. SweetSweetRadish.com. Abe Rosenberg, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.